podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys on Coppin Frackers.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's episode of Coppin Frackers, powered by Just Like Media Group. I am your host, Chris. And this week I am joined by Glam. Glam, didn't think I was going to say his name first yet again, but you know, I keep my promises where they're due.
Yes, what's going on?
As you can see, Glam is modelling the new Liverpool away shirt, as only Glam can, if you're watching it on the video, the Glam cam. How are you finding the shirt, brother?
Bro, the shirt's tight, bro. I can't lie, bro. But, you know, it's good. Like, I will rock it to the gym. I can't lie. I was just speaking to you guys off here. You're telling me that it's a Nike fit because this is actually an XL. Do you know what I mean? I was going for, like, a more comfortable look, but it is what it is, man. It's shot.
No. I got the same one a few weeks ago. I got it in an XL as well. The nice thing about it makes your arms feel, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, you can see that the gym work's been coming out, but everything else, I'm just there like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good to know that you're doing well. I've also got Julian. Julian, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. You know, my T-shirt's not as tight, even though it's a Liverpool top, New Balance, one of the old ones. If I was wearing a Liverpool top, I wouldn't be breathing right now. Like, I've literally worn... Sorry, I didn't know this was going to turn into a night conversation, but here it is. But
fashion end fracas, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fashion end fracas. But I haven't literally worn my Liverpool top. I wore it once, put on weight over lockdown and never wore it again. So my kids will have a very nice top when they're older, a nice retro Liverpool top, because, yeah, it's a bit...
I was about to say, he said, kids. I'm like, bro, when did you drop some babies, bro?
We're not there yet. But, you know, retro Liverpool top when they have that. But I'm good, man. I'm good. Sun is shining. The weather is sweet. You know, everything is fine, man.
That's what we'd like to hear. And, you know, I'm joined by two members of the NWO who seem to have won the old civil war that's been going on.
Victory lap. Come on.
I need my world title. I need my world title.
Yeah, you guys got to fill me in on what's going on, man. I don't know. I've seen people left the groups.
Glam, all I'm going to say
I've seen people come out.
Next time I see you guys in person,
all I'm going to say is, Glam, there's certain guys that couldn't handle the pressure of what this their beloved board had to bring them, and they had to just vacate the premises because their heads were getting hot. And
So you got the NWO, yeah?
Oh, of course.
So no one's repping the other lot, no?
Not here.
Not here.
They're too scared, bro. We called them out. We told them, come on the board. I was like, brothers, come, let's do a joint pod together.
Yeah.
Let's air out our differences. Let's let the listeners decide.
Yeah,
you know, let's let the listeners listen to what we've been discussing in the chat, and they just don't want to show up, man.
Oh, wow.
And one of them is not about no more. He's not around no more.
He's not. And who do you think that's because of? Well, it's actually because of Julian. That's the funny thing.
And the funny thing is, yeah, sorry to go into this, but this morning, yeah, I was actually minding my business. I had work to do.
Bro, you know, they called you out.
Yeah, I was like, bruv, what do you want from me? Like, I'm working, had my porridge. And I thought, nah, fuck this. Let's actually go into this. Let's talk. And here we are, the company men, one man down.
It was very much like that Nene Leakes video where she's just sitting there like, now why am I in it?
Yeah, exactly. And now I've got in it. W's. Here's what it is, man.
Is what it is. Speaking of fashion and fracas, we've got the perfect person to talk about that with us. Sporting a lovely new haircut, if you're watching on the video. We've got Fahi. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. Oh, actually, no, I'm not good. I'm actually quite pissed off. I've had a fucking horrific day. I've got a puncture in my tyre.
Oh, no.
Yeah, bruv. I was driving, you know, I was going to gym. I was like, you know, let me drive nice. And I just hear... I'm like, what's this? What's going on? It sounds like there's a carrier bag in my exhaust. So I come outside, I look, and I see some fat nail on my left rear tire. So obviously I need to repair that. So whilst I'm talking about Liverpool and all the great things going on, I'm going to be pissed off thinking about that tire I need to sort out tomorrow, man.
I had to get one changed a few months ago. I think I went out like, we'll talk about it offline. This isn't, you know, pit stop. But if you do want to listen to good Pirelli action, head over and listen to the Pit Stop Boys. Of course, as always, you know, if you do want a little bit more Coppa and Fracas content, if you want to hear what's been going on between the company men and the NWO, then please head over to the Patreon page. And membership start from just £3 per month. The link is below on the video, and it is in the podcast description. But I will always say it as I do, because I've been conditioned like the Winter Soldier. It's www.patreon.com/Coppa and Fracas and subscribe today. Also, a massive shout out to everyone who came out on Sunday for the Coppa and Fracas live show. It was a good time had by all. I think you all saw the pictures and videos of Lewis looking very despondent. And the one that was dubbed over where he just said, we don't have the capacity. That was that actually made my weekend, because good, I don't know who did that, but kudos to you, sir.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant, man.
You could just see the look of just all hope drained from his face. and then someone just memed it. But of course, Fahi, you were present as ever. With the Arsenal. I'm surprised you didn't take a cardboard cutout of the Arsenal lost meme. And have it there just on deck in case. But how was it at the weekend? How were the vibes?
Bro, like, it was clear as day that Arsenal were going to lose, yeah? And I was like, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to make sure I am at this event. I want to see tears. I want to see tears and I want to laugh. And I was laughing within the first 15 minutes. It was beautiful. It was lovely catching up with all of our listeners. Great vibes, you know. We had loads of jokes and everything. Laughed at Arsenal, laughed at Chelsea. Somehow, the Chelsea podcast members came away getting dunked on, which is a bit mad.
I couldn't believe that. When I heard that back, I wasn't at the show, but when I heard that back, I genuinely couldn't believe that Chelsea won the game, because the way they got panned on the main stage was absolutely crazy.
Bro, it was a bit mad, but you know, everyone was on top form. Mush was there, Harold was there, Marco was there, Ellis was on another vibe.
Ellis must have taken an entire container of pre-workout, because he was up for it.
Bam, but that's what you heard on the live show. During the games, the way he was heckling Touchy Gooners, Arsenal, I've never seen Ellis that funny in my life. It was unbelievable. I was crying with laughter. Like, he was so on point. Pause. But yeah, it was a great day. I'm sure there's another event coming soon. And just make sure you're there next time, guys.
100%, man. Of course, you know, you got a free drink on entry. There was food provided. And of course, as you just heard, there was pamming galore. So, when we do have the next event, please do come down and get in on the action. But the good thing about the show that made all the guys attended and listening back enjoy it more was the fact that Liverpool had a lovely half 12 lunchtime win against Burnley at Anfield. I just want to talk about, first of all, I just want to talk about the composed nature of the performance. And Fahi, I'll start off with you for this. Games of this kind of magnitude is probably the wrong word, but it's the only word I can think of at the moment, of this stature, where we're playing, you know, lower bottom of the half opposition, weirdly enough, at Anfield, and of course sometimes away from home too, where we were dropping all these key points. Did that performance at the weekend kind of give you a bit more confidence, knowing that we can perform and deliver, most importantly, against these teams to recoup all the points that we dropped last season in this campaign?
I would say it just reminded me of the Liverpool from the 2019 to the 2020 era. So you don't even call that an era, do you? You call that a good 18 months. So that home form, it reminded me of LFC from them, man. comfortable. Obviously, Burnley had their chances and everything. It's still early in the season. Our centre-backs are still recovering. But in general, I really like the way we dominated that game. We obviously held the majority of the possession. We created loads of chances. I don't think anyone underperformed. It was a nice, solid performance from all. I think there were a few standouts. But yeah, it just reminded me of the Liverpool from old. And it was just great vibes, hearing all the crowd back at Anfield. And even for a lunchtime kickoff on a Saturday, it was nice and loud. Because it's been so long, people haven't been there. Usually, you know, Saturday lunchtime kickoff, they're a bit muted. Everyone's waking up from their Friday night session, getting there and, you know, sleeping their eye and all that shit. But I think everyone was bang on it for this game because it's been so long. And yeah, the vibes are great.
100%. And Glam, I'll come to you, kind of the same question, really. It felt like a homecoming of sorts for Liverpool. I mean, it's been so long since there was a crowd in the stadium. Mm-hmm. Again, I kind of pose the same question. And again, with the crowd in attendance, do you see that changing the tides and fortunes of this team this season as well?
100%, man. I was one of the advocates that was saying, you know what I mean, one of the first main pods in during the COVID hit that fans in, and a few of you kind of laughed at me, and maybe I didn't explain it or elaborate on it on why, but it just makes a massive difference, man. And, you know, I've been in Anfield. I've experienced the Champions League rush, but as I said, my brother, Arsenal fan, shouts out to him. He obviously experienced it, and he was just like, there's nothing like it. And, you know, I just think at home, I knew for one, last season where Burnley tipped us off, and obviously we got those silly draws and everything, it's not happening when a crowd is there. They just won't allow it. Like, even if we're on an off day, the crowd are just not allowed, and it's a massive difference to us. Like, and yeah, and it showed. It showed, man. We didn't even get out of third gear. You know, I know Burnley started quite well, but was never in doubt in terms of the control of the game. So yeah, I'm happy the fans are back.
No, I completely agree. I'm thankful that I've got some people. I know some people who obviously went to the game and said the vibes are absolutely fantastic. One of my close friends actually took his son for the first time as well. It's one of those like nice occasions, especially when it's a win too. Mm. It's like one of those things where you just kind of remember your first game, you know, the kind of the atmosphere and the specialty around it. So that was nice to see. And I think it's most personified more than anything when Ashley Barnes scored that disallowed goal.
Gave wow, the money. Absolutely.
The way he was happy with ease. I kind of respect it though, you know what I mean? Like,
I respect shit because you see what he done. He's done his little flipping little sign, and then when he realizes he's offside, he's like, fuck off. Well, bruv, you're offside, isn't it? Like, get out of here, man, you idiot.
The cop let him have it as well. It was the funniest thing to see. And he's like, you know, he's like, balding head, just turn around, just patchy. Good. But no, it's good to see the fans back in the ground more than anything. Julian, I'll come to you. We kind of talked about this a little bit on the post-match pod at the weekend. Again, post-match pod is Patreon exclusive, so if you do want to hear more of that content going forward, head over to the Patreon page today. The team for the game, we were quite pleasantly surprised by the midfield selection. Obviously, now we know that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is now a father. Congratulations to him. On that, even though he didn't really do a lot, I'm pretty sure this is his work.
I'm sure being in the labour room when that happens is black playing the full 90 minutes. I'm sure Glam can attest to that. So you've done a lot, man. Why are you looking at me?
I have to do the rock eyebrow there.
Well, yeah, man. It was what was the question?
To get a little off key there, Glam got very serious there. If you watched on the video, you can see the serious look on his face. It was quite big one. The team selection for the game, obviously we now know obviously what Ox wasn't available. Mm-hmm. Of course, Fabinho on compassionate leave there too, and the surprise selection of Harvey Elliott starting, kind of his first Premier League appearance, full start on the right hand side, that midfield three. What a performance it was from him, first and foremost. Let's just kind of get this kind of talk out the way so we can talk about him. How well do you think he did, considering?
Man, I've been, it feels like I've been featuring him on Patreons and the pod quite frequently, and I've been speaking about him literally every single time I come on. Compared to last season, it feels like a crazy surge of a young talent. He was brilliant, man. Like, what I've said this many times, but what I love about young players when they first come into the team is that when they look like they want it, not just being there and being comfortable and, you know, doing the passing it side to side, playing it safe, which is fair as a young player, especially as young as he is, doing when they come into a side like Liverpool. But he actually looks like he gets the ball, takes responsibility with the ball, and finds the players that he wants to find. And even looking at how Salah and a couple of other forwards are linking up with him, always trying to look for him, trusting him with the ball, it just goes to show that he's a brilliant, brilliant prospect that the best of the best in the world are looking at and are performing with. And yeah, man, he was absolutely brilliant. And for your first appearance at home, it helps that the crowd were there to, like, you know, when he was getting knocked about by a couple of the Burnley players to kind of rise him up, give them a bit of stick as well. But yeah, I thought he was brilliant. If Shimikas personally wasn't man of the match, I felt like he could have been easily, because he was, yeah, fearless, absolutely fearless. I love it.
Fahi, I'll come to you. We'll talk about a departure of a Liverpool player later on, but for the role that player is theoretically meant to do, Harvey Elliott showed at such a young age the maturity and the desire to kind of deliver that role and give a little bit more.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, definitely. I think he played... What I like when players come through into the first team for the first time, and it just reminded me of Sterling as well. You know, when Sterling first started, I think it was against City at Anfield, how fearless he played. Elliot had the exact same vibes, man. He wasn't scared. He wanted to get on the ball. He was fighting and battling for every single duel. Like, he was there every time the ball was in the air, even though he's so small, he was still going for it. And he was actually winning headers, which was mad. Obviously, in the final third, not every pass worked out well, but the fact that he was trying to create, trying to come up with innovative ideas, it wasn't the simple just pass to Salah and go. He was trying to think of doing something different. Like, yeah. I like that. He doesn't need to be the same old midfield three like everyone else. And he wanted to do something a bit different. And yeah, in general, I think he cemented himself in that game. I think Burnley tried to, you know, nibble at his ankles and all that stuff, but he was adamant that he'd get out from it. And yeah, he did really, really well. It was interesting seeing him in a right centre mid role, because you know, it's been teased quite a bit. So actually seeing him perform at Anfield in a Premier League game in that position was good to see, man.
It's one thing that we discussed in terms of where he's long-term position in a Liverpool team more than anything would be. I think he played a lot of his games for Blackburn, kind of within their forward line. But you saw the tenacity that he had, the desire to, you know, to win the ball back. And I think what was most impressive with him as well, like you said, his pressing and his desire to press to try to win back the ball and keep them pinned back was just absolutely sensational. And, you know, to kind of grasp the concept of playing in a Klopp midfield more than anything at such a young age is really special. Glam, I'll come to you. It's kind of the same question. That, and it's a bit of more of a wider question on that right hand side of the Liverpool team on Saturday. So you saw Elliott kind of playing in a wide midfield role, and Trent was actually playing more central midfield, and Salah has been able to kind of drift in and draft out. How key do you think that's going to be for the remainder of the season? Because the ability of Elliot to kind of draft out and enable Trent to play more central midfield, which is something that people have been calling for a while, and have a bit more influence in the game, how key do you think that's going to be in certain situations this season?
I'll say it's going to be a good option in terms of... because I don't expect Harvey to play that many games. I think Klopp will pick and choose what certain games to bring him in and integrate him in. But obviously, what Fahi and yourself said, he was fearless in the game. And I think for Mane's goal, obviously, Trent was like more or less like a centre mid, like a 10. And I was pretty much thinking, well, what's he doing there? Obviously, he laid off the assist. But I think Harvey understands the role. I think he understands what his job is to do. You know, he's what, 17, 18, he's got the legs, you know, and he's bombing up and down. I'm quite surprised how mature in his game he is, if I'm honest. I remember when he first come and he before he went on his loan. Yeah. You know, he's a bit he was just, you know, here, there, just trying to impress and get the ball here, there. He didn't have the really the coordination.
He looks fairly lightweight.
Yeah. And you know, that loan move to Blackburn has done in the world of good. And the fact that he stayed, I understand why now he stayed. I was the one that questioned and thought he's going out alone. He should go on loan.
Yeah.
But after that performance, I can't understand why he's in around the squad. He might as well keep him around because, he can be a dimension for us.
100%. And there's very supportive. I think he was allowed, he was allowed to have 6 weeks off for pre-season, but I think he only took two. Mm. He took a full month to kind of work on his fitness and work on his game, and you know, that maturity and that discipline. I think more importantly, that desire to make it a Liverpool, because you see how important that is to him.
Definitely.
It's just absolutely fantastic.
And just one more thing to add, I missed the cutting, the drop of the shoulder, and the crossbar. I totally missed that. I saw it in Eclipse after, and I don't know what part that happened in the game. Did he actually show it? Did you guys see that? When he cut in and hit the ball?
Yeah. That was, I wanted that.
That was quality.
Yeah, he's a player, man.
That was sensational, man. Jeez, like, I'm surprised no one are talking about it. I mean, if you play for City, probably heard it all over Sky Sports News and whatnot. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, that was amazing. Amazing bit of skill.
He was absolutely fantastic in that game, and it's one of those ones where you can see the development of and you know, you can see the bones of a player there that, you know, can hopefully contribute to Liverpool as time goes on. Want to talk about, you know, a little bit more about the game in more detail as we go along, but I want to kind of shift the conversation towards one player and one player in particular. So it's another game up front and another goal for Liverpool's new number nine, Diogo Jota. Fahi, love it. Fahi, I'll come back to you on this. He's played more like a traditional number nine. So we've seen him in this role now for two games. Did you think this will be his position for the long term now going forward, or do you think there'll still be kind of ways for him to operate on the left hand side of front three?
I think there's going to be ways for him to operate from all three positions of the front three. He was signed because he is adaptable, and we've seen that he's pretty good on the left. He's good centrally, and I'm not sure of him in the right, but yeah, left and central, he's pretty decent. So I don't think he's exactly cemented his position as only as a central forward. He's still going to play on the left every so often, depending on, you know, when Mane needs a break, because there's no one else to really cover Mane on the left-hand side. I think it was a good performance. I know you've not asked me the question of what I thought of his performance, but I may as well just tell you anyway. I thought it was a good performance. As a number nine, your number one job, like Julian said yesterday, is to score goals, and he scored. So, you know, two starts, two goals. What more do you want from your centre forward?
Let's go in a little bit more detail there. He's got, this season so far, five shots on goal, three of them are shots on target, and he scored with two of the shots on target. So, you know.
Bro, his I think I saw a stat. I don't know who shared it. I think it was Dan Kennett. He shared a stat regarding Jota's shot to goal ratio compared to Salah, and it's right up there. And obviously, Salah's quite clinical. Jota's just below Salah. So if Jota continues on the path that he's been showing for the past year, then yeah, man, he's going to do really, really well.
Glam, I'll come back to you on this as well. When you look at Jota, are you happy with him kind of playing up front? Because I think it actually allows a little bit of attention now that you see how clinical he can be. And it's weird that he's more clinical he's clinical in these areas we need to be clinical. In the 18-yard box, he's, you know, very much there. He can head the ball, he can shoot. I think he actually draws a lot of attention away from the other two in a weird way, because there's a pressure you have to kind of guard from the box now. How happy are you going forward that he'll be kind of starting a lot more games kind of up front playing as the nine?
Yeah, no, I'm very happy. Obviously, I did want him to start. I think it was a close call between him and Bobby, because Bobby was brilliant in pre-season. He's come on last week and he scored a goal. But, you know, Jota's doing his job. Scores his goals. The performance ain't flamboyant, sort of, you know, exciting. And obviously, yeah, he's thrilling us. But he's getting the goals. I'm happy for him to continue getting the goals. And also, the thing as well, he's playing central, but he's not a central player. He can come out wide. He can interchange. Salah can drift through the middle if need be. I just love the interchange. What I will say is, in games that we're not at home, for instance, if we go to the Etihad or Old Trafford, I wouldn't be surprised if then Bobby Firmino starts, because obviously then I think we'll be pressing a lot more than we'll be pressing at home. But listen, man, it's good options. And he's scoring goals. I think he should get, if he's fit, he should get 15 to 20 goals. I can't see why not. He can't do that.
No, I think that's a really good shout. I mean, if he can get 15 goals, obviously you expect Salah to kind of push for, 25, that range again. Mane, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag what you can get there. And I think Firmino in a bit more of a reduced role, rotating in, if he can get you 10 in a reduced role, it's, I saw Julian's face there. It does what it needs to do. Julian, I'm going to come back to you next on this as well. I think it's really interesting that, you know, from a lot, what we saw from Jota last season whilst he was playing on the left, he was quite involved in the build-up. But you see he's kind of developed a bit of a knack for not being that heavily involved. But he is getting his goal regardless, and that is what you want. I mean, if there's one thing that you always say from a number nine, is you want a shooter. You want a guy that's going to deliver. How happy are you, more than anyone, that we're kind of seeing his gradual evolution to this kind of footballer?
Oh, I respect it, man. Like, listen, I'm a nasty guy when it comes to strikers, bruv. I don't care about the guy that links up, that's passing back to the number 10 or to the wing so he can make a run inside and then get a goal. Listen, my number nine, when you shoot, I want you to score. And that's what, like, and I rate Joe because, listen, I can see it's evident where Klopp is probably screaming at him from the touchline. Oh, Joe, you need to do this. But he's like, listen, Klopp, I got my goal in it. Like, you need to talk to them, man, about pressing and all that, because man's not here for this. I'm here to shoot and score. And one thing I also like about Klopp is that he will always reward good form. So I feel like if Joe keeps scoring, it's kind of undeniable in the sense where Klopp is going to be like, you scored last game, you scored over the last two or three. I'm going to stick Bobby in now because of whatever. Because Jota's, to me, like that kind of, you can't buy goals. Like, this is why we kind of had grumbles over the last year when it comes to like selling Salah and saying we want to buy this player to replace him if he gets sold. Is that goals can never be replaced. And with Mane kind of dropping off the boil a bit, I definitely feel like Jota's stamping his place in the front three with these goals. It will be a bit techy if there are games where he absolutely doesn't link up and doesn't score and doesn't provide the intangibles that Firmino does provide to the team. But listen, as I said before, goals are goals. Goals are the biggest currency in football. And as long as you're netting, especially when you're playing in the striker's role, I don't think anyone can have many complaints. And if you do, then you're probably just nitpicking.
No, well, I completely agree. And it's the one thing we have been crying out for a while. So, you know, the whole purpose of the midfield function is to kind of press and, you know, ignite it from there. And I think it's one thing that we are seeing from the guys as well. So let's kind of move on and talk about Jota's goal as well. It's a brilliantly taken header. Kind of one of the things I said earlier on, that he's, you know, deceptively good in the air. It's really weird because he's not the tallest of players, but he always seems to win the ball. Fahi, I'll come back to you. One of the players we've seen kind of really show why he was brought in to be backup is Kostas Tsimikas over these kind of past two games. The ball he puts in is very Robbo-esque for Jota to kind of put that in the back of the net. How impressive you've been with Tsimikas as well and his ability to kind of create these chances that we expect from our fullbacks?
Yeah. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm not surprised by Tsimikas going forward. Every time I've actually seen him play and every clip I've seen of him, he's been very good going forward. My only question has always been about him defensively. And I think last week. You saw that at the end. But yeah, on Saturday, he was fantastic, solid. Going forward, he was brilliant. He linked up play very well with Naby. Him and Naby had a great understanding.
Yeah.
A few times Naby knew when to find him and he knew when to overlap. So that was good. And also he had a good understanding with Mane as well. For the goal itself, again, Naby carries the ball, waits for Tsimikas to come near him, pegs it back to him, and Tsimikas does the job. Brilliant cross. Again, Robbo-esque. It was very, very good performance. Can't complain. He's done what he had to do. When your fullbacks are injured and you need a replacement to come in, they need to be solid and they need to do their job. He's kept two clean sheets. He's assisted. And yeah, in general, I think our fan base now will be a lot more at ease if there ever is a time where Robbo needs a break, because Tsimikas has proven he can do a job.
I wish you got Jamal Lewis, though.
Oh, that is an inside joke, guys.
Oh, is that NWO? Okay, NWO. I must see NWO beef.
It's been the source of entertainment for the past 48 hours. So, yeah, I'm quite interested to see if Tsimikas could possibly do a job at right back as well, because. One of the things that we did see from this game, and we're going to talk about Trent in a little bit more detail later on, because fucking hell, he had a fantastic game. One of the things we saw was that Trent cut back on his left foot a fair bit in that game. So one of the things I'm interested to see if Tsimikas could, you know, take that exact same skill, place it up on the right hand side in games where we could, you know, just give Trent a rest, then we all can kind of agree that Neco isn't ready to step up and cover. In certain games that aren't League Cup or FA Cup, I think that's fair. You know what I mean? You can start games.
It's fair, and you know, I love me an inverted fullback. You know, they're so good. Like Pep says, Pep loves an inverted fullback as well. But yeah, I love watching inverted fullbacks play. It'd be interesting to see how Tsimikas plays at right back. Obviously, I'm not. I'd rather have an actual specialist at right back.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know. If you can't get a right back in, which obviously I'd highly doubt we're getting a right back in, I'd rather have Tsimikas play than someone else. Big up that person still.
Yeah, no, I'm big him up, but I also think it's fair to say that he might not be good enough to play for the football club.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Who's Riddler?
Riddler?
We're talking about good enough to play right back.
I mean, who's second in command when it comes to right backs?
Oh, not Nico.
Yeah, your boy Nico.
Oh, okay. I threw me off.
He should be gone, man. Really should be gone. They were teasing something about an £8 million bid and all this nonsense. And yeah, he is still here. So
the thing about Nico's got capabilities.
He has,
but he's
he's got speed.
He's good.
Not a winner,
yeah, he's a good footballer, but he's just not for us. He's not for us.
And that's what Julian's disgusting. I'm just looking at his facial expressions. He's just like, fuck's sake.
All I'm gonna say is every time I've seen that you against someone with a bit of colour, it's long. Absolutely not. Like it's not even like you can see where like, oh, you know, if you work on this will happen. It's one of them ones where it's like just cut your losses now. Like, I'm sure he'll be a good player. Like, I don't even know, because I saw him for Wales, and my God, yeah, man, that you in it. Like, I can't even do a deep analysis. Like, every time I've seen him, he's just been terrible. But I don't even want to go in on him too much, because yeah, man, it's a bit harsh.
I think he'd be good for like a lower half Premier League team. So you can see where he'd be good for, you know, a Southampton. You can see where he'd be good for, a Palace. And you can see how he could, you know, definitely benefit.
I'll be honest. I don't think he can make it in this league. Championship, maybe. I can't lie, but I don't even see at Southampton or Crystal Palace him doing a job, because he looks quite hopeless. And that's what I'm going to say, because it's a bit harsh.
Now, if Jamal Lewis can make it, he definitely can make it, bro. I don't agree with that. He could definitely make it in the Premier League. He's just not Liverpool quality. He's just not Liverpool quality. Come on, let's be honest. Obviously, Trent's not the best defensive fullback ever, but what he gives to the team does outweigh his defensive side. Nico would be balanced. It's no point in having him. It's just no point. Let him go and play football somewhere else. That's how I see it.
I think this is the problem as well, because his pathway to get better is blocked by the fact that he can't get minutes, because the guy who we're literally about to talk about now is so good and undroppable that he can't.
And Trent is quite fit as well. Like I've only seen him miss a couple of games here and there. But yeah, man, Trent is brilliant, man. Like if we're gonna start speaking about him, Trent is brilliant. I really love what it seems that Klopp is doing in terms of changing the way that he is a creator in the team, instead of like getting him down the byline, Salah passing it off and him just whipping it in, which he's amazing at. But I felt like there was times last season where he got kind of found out, and like Klopp was moving a bit stubborn in terms of the way he played, but not stubborn, but you know, he was just doing the tried and tested and it just wasn't working.
It felt very robotic.
It felt at that point. Yeah, like it was getting to, you know, the people make the joke across inshallah. It literally felt like that was our only way of getting goals. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I feel like there was the last part of last season where Trent was evolving into this role that he's into now, like picking the ball up, not only just on the right flank, but dropping into centre mid and dropping into the middle and picking up there and picking up passes. I feel like this is something he's probably worked on throughout the summer. I saw it in the pre-season, and these two games he's looked like he's creating, he's having more of a free roam on that right-hand side, linking up with the centre mid and letting the centre mid go a bit wide, where it seems to be either Keita or Harvey Elliott so far. Salah kind of dropping into the middle and him kind of picking up passes here and there, because maybe, you know, and that's good, because I feel like he's the most technically gifted player in the club for sure, and probably that I've seen since Steven Gerrard at the club. So I definitely feel like we're using him in the right way, where he's dropping into the middle instead of just being restricted to the right. So yeah, man, jugador performance, and love it from Trent. Just love it.
I've got a quick question for you, Julian, by the way. So talk about, you know, players being the system. I look at Trent now and the way he's been used in these past two games and how influential he is. Would it be fair to say that Trent is the system?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Because I definitely feel like Robertson and so far Tsimikas will be used, and at the same capacity, the ball usage will definitely be there for them. I don't think we're going to just be relying on Trent, because Tsimikas and Robertson are very technically gifted still to try and pick out a cross. So there's so many cogs in the machine that at this point, I think it'll be very unfair to say that one player is the system, as we did 2 years ago.
No, that's a very good way to put it. Fahi, I'll come to you next. The ball he plays for Mane, and some of the passing that was on display from Trent at the weekend, was just trying to put it into words for me, because I'm a little bit speechless
it was exquisite, mate. I think exquisite is a good superlative to go with. I think Trent played really well, man. I think one thing I want to focus on before I talk about his passing, because we all know how good he is at passing. Has anyone else noticed how broad he's got now? He's definitely been doing wide lap pulls.
Hang on a minute. Did you call that lap pulls or lap pause? Because if you did the latter, that was brilliant.
No, lap pulls, man. Pulls, sorry. But come on, it's the Bedfordian accent.
He did say pulls still. Chris is picking on him, man. That's an NWR moment,
bruv. But yeah, Glam, I'm sure you can appreciate he has definitely got a bit wider.
I haven't really noticed that, obviously, apart from his new hairstyle and his confidence. But yeah, I'm gonna
have a watch. He looks broader.
He's a growing boy. Even when I look at pictures from, like, for example, when he first got into the side properly around the 2018-2019 season, or maybe even before that, compared to even now or even last season, he's 22 and he's going to keep growing. But I definitely feel like he's putting on size. Everyone in the Liverpool side, I think it's mandatory just for you to just put on size in general. Because even if you look at Harvey Elliott, he looks a lot bigger than he did when he was at Blackburn, especially over the summer. It so it's definitely Liverpool.
I just wanted to point that out. But yeah, in general, his passing was great, man. Honestly, Trent, I would say first half, McNeil
took it to him. McNeil knows.
Yeah, McNeil ain't no joke. It's a weird one as well, because I always think McNeil is like one player that Trent always finds it difficult to go against.
Yeah,
because he's got a combination.
He knows when he has him one on one, it's a 50-50 opportunity, man. Like, Trent doesn't feel comfortable around McNeil. So first half, McNeil, there's a couple of times he caught him off guard, but second half, I think Klopp told Trent to advance a lot more. To the point, he advanced so much that, you know, McNeil knew that he couldn't really do much, so he had to switch flanks. So, it was a great performance. I was really happy with how Trent played.
McNeil is not a Burnley player, man.
He's better. He's so much better than Burnley. You can see how he'd play incredibly well if he went to Spurs. You can see how he'd do very well at an Everton, where there's just like a big target man. He can whip balls in.
Even Aston Villa.
Arsenal.
Even Aston Villa, man.
We're talking about mid-table clubs. We've got to talk about Arsenal. You do really.
I was going to say, brother, me and you could do a job for Arsenal at the moment, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Glam at centre back would do well.
You'd be better than Pablo Mari. Fuck it, hell.
I'm sure he wouldn't get bullied by Lukaku if Glam was at centre back.
Yeah, for more pain, tune into this week's Touchy Gooners for a bit more on that.
I am.
Yeah, I mean, we all are. Last week they had a UN summit, so God knows what's happening this week. I want to talk about Klopp's comments on Burnley essentially making it fucking SummerSlam, which was ironically on the same day. It was very obvious to me, kind of second half, they were absolutely finished by 55 minutes. They were all knackered, possibly apart from McNeil. As we just discussed, and they resorted to what I can only describe as alehouse football Sunday league tactics, where you just go in and try and chop everyone who looks better than you. It's very, we've seen all this stuff in the media where Jermaine Genius is, laughing, even though, there's clear examples of where Burnley, you're barging people, blindsiding people, knocking people to the floor. The one they did on Trent towards the end of the game was a fucking disgrace, by the way. And I just wanted to kind of get how you felt about that, because the way it's being perceived by the media is, oh, it's Klopp moaning, it's Klopp trying to get an advantage with mental games. And Glam, I'm going to come to you first on this. What did you make of this whole kind of circus that's been surrounded this, even though it's very evident what Burnley were trying to do?
Yeah, the thing, I do get Klopp's point of view, and he has the right to vent his frustration, that sense, even though, because had we lost the game in him doing that, it would have been like, oh, we're sour grapes. So we've won the game, but he's still talking about it because, end of the day, his players are his responsibility. You know, we've come back fresh, full fit squad, well, mostly. And if you want to play football, play football in it. But don't take the piss and try go out to intentionally obscure players without playing the ball. And that's just Burnley all over. And I think when they knew that they lost the game in terms of fitness by the second half, I said they started well. They started bright. Their intensity, they did want the ball and tried to go at Trent on the right hand side and also unsettle Alisson. But by the second half, like they were blowing gas. They were blowing gas. And that sort of gameplay that they had, I can't stand it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad that he very frustration. I did hear Tarkowski's little TalkSport interview prior to the game, and I'll be honest with you, they felt they was going to have us. They were talking about, he was talking about obviously what the game plan was to rattle us, try unsettle us, and obviously they got a decent record. Was it? I think they've won or lost. They lost in four against us, apparently.
So I think they won the game from last season. I think they drew the one from the season before.
That's it. One win and a draw. So they were confident in going into that. And I just think, I just think that if you're going to play football, then play football, man. But Klopp had every right to say what he said, and I don't blame him at all.
100%. Fahil, come to you. They tried the exact same tactic they did when we had Reece Williams and Nat Phillips when we played them at their gaff towards the end of last season. Only difference this year was that we had Joel Matip and Virgil van Dijk at centre-back. The long ball tactic and just how imperious those two fellas were in the game, how, and especially with the challenge that we've got coming next week with Chelsea coming to Anfield and, you know, Lukaku, like we literally just talked about, him bullying centre-backs and whatnot. How much confidence does it give you, especially with those two guys, that they can take on these challenges going forward?
Yeah, I think I was, like I said in the LFC Day Trippers podcast, I was a bit worried about the aerial duels that Van Dijk and Matip were going to face against those two bouncers. But yeah, they did very well. Matip performed fantastically. He was great in the air. And something I criticise him a lot about is his aerial duels. Sometimes yeah. He does, you know, lose out on quite a few. But I think on Saturday, it was close to 10 wins in the air. It was somewhere around 8 to 10 from what I remember. So, yeah, he performed fantastically. Again, I know, obviously, we've got Lukaku this Saturday. I don't think you can compare Lukaku's physical presence to those other two wankers that played last week. it's like chalk and cheese, right? You're looking at 3 out of 10 pricks against an 8 out of 10 forward, so that there's a big difference. And also, I think Chelsea aren't going to just hoof it in the air to Lukaku. They'd be stupid to do that.
You know how they're going to play. They're going to have Lukaku as a target man. They're going to have two people on the wings who are going to try and
Exactly. They'll be driving in crosses. They'll be driving in crosses. I think that's the best way to get at us, especially with the way Van Dijk and Matip are struggling to kind of track back and recover. I think that's probably the best way to go. So, yeah, it was good to see that, you know, that they were absolutely fine in terms of the aerial duels and everything and the physical battle. But, yeah, I think Lukaku is a different challenge.
I do want to quickly touch on the fact that I think Alisson has looked so much more reassured and composed in these two games with, you know, the real centre-backs in front of him. I think pretty much up to this point, every shot that's been on target, he has saved. And he's, well, we haven't conceded a goal, so it has to be the. But yeah, he's just looked so much more calm. You know, when you see him coming out to collect stuff, his distribution, the one where he absolutely sold, I think it was Ashley Barnes with that little bit of trickery of his feet, was absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I'm very impressed with what I've seen from Alisson so far this season too. Before we do kind of close the pod, new contract for Andy Robertson. What do we all think of that? I can't think of anyone who kind of deserves a more, who has earned an improved contract more than him, in all honesty.
Yeah, well deserved. I hope they've doubled what he was earning previously, because I think reportedly it was 50k base. So if he was on 50k base, have the best left back in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope he's on 100k minimum plus incentives.
Oh, yeah, man. He needs that, because I find they're putting him on Tesco wages, bro. For the best left back in the world, it was
Tesco mental. Wages? What Tesco's are hiring like that, bro? Oh,
Yeah, man. Hold tight, Robin, man. He deserves it, but good news. I can't lie. You know where I stand in it. Standard. Giving players new contracts isn't anything to celebrate, but I'm happy. I'm not going to say I'm not happy that he's committed to Liverpool.
It's the minimum expectation. When you've got a world-class player that's playing every single game and, like, you know, they're clearly happy at the club, like, them getting a new contract.
They should be remunerated, the search. Yeah, 100%.
Exactly, yeah. It shouldn't be something that, like, oh, yes, well done to the club. Oh, brilliant. 4 or 5 years.
I've noticed only our fan base that make such a big palaver about someone signing a new contract, unless it's, like, a superstar in another team that they want. But, yeah, man. All this just points to is no transfers. So,
hold on a minute, player. I'm going to get my telly long here. Hold on a minute, player. Or you will. Go, I was going to say you go one on one with Mike, but that's already happened today, and you've won. So, so we've. I hope he's listening, by the way.
I love you, Mike. Yeah, we're gonna buy you a drink on Friday, man. Don't worry, bruv. Like, a commiseration drink for you, a nice cocktail when we go Wingman's. Don't worry, man.
You can do that thing where you go, no, don't worry about it. I'll pay. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I got that, Mike, man. Like, you've been through enough this week. It's okay, man. Like, just sip this juice. I'll even make it a double as well.
See, there we go. A benevolent benevolent opponent there. On the transfer front, Jean Shaqiri has now gone to Lyon for 9.5 million.
Good luck, mate.
I am so happy we don't have these discussions in the Kop End group.
I promise you, every assist and every goal, Anik will be there. You guys see Shaq. He's pulling out at Lyon, you know.
I think overall, Shaq's been unlucky. I am a fan of his ability and, you know, his game style, but, you know, it didn't work out. No, I mean, good luck to you, but yeah, it had to be done. There's no point in keeping around. He's on a decent amount of wages as well. He weren't going to play, so you might as well have Harvey Elliott having his
I respect the fact that he went early to Klopp and said, can I leave to kind of play more first team football?
Yeah,
apparently he said it early in the year. Like, he didn't even say like early in the summer. He said it earlier in the year. Like, yeah, I want to go.
I respect that. I respect that ambition to kind of, you know, fulfill your career and, you know, showcase what you can do. As we know, he's a very talented player. But
I disagree
with the point of him being unlucky, for one thing and one thing only, as reported by a good friend of the pod, Chris Williams. This is the same guy who left halfway through the season and got a hair transplant to which he couldn't head the ball or wear.
Yeah, but come on, football ain't there for us to see alive. Listen, he's thinking about it. Look, end of the day, he's not a nice looking chap anyway, let's be honest. So there might be a shop window open for him to get his hair done now. He might as well get it done, like, end of the day, do you know what I mean? So he knows his career was obviously on the balance anyway. I think if he was playing week in, week out, or he knew he was in Klopp plans, he wouldn't have done that. He knew he wasn't favored by Klopp. So why not? Fuck it. Let me go get my hair done. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. So obviously that opens up a non-homegrown player slot from now to the end of the season. I don't know why. I can see Fahy bobbing and weaving like he's...
I'm just dancing, man. I'm glad he's gone.
I don't know. You're like you're fighting like Joe Frazier or something. I was hoping there wasn't a wasp trying to get you then. obviously that opens a non-homegrown player quota, so we can sign someone from abroad. The whole talk has been that, you know, Liverpool can't sign a player, and the player they would sign is from abroad. Quick round robin. Do you think Liverpool will sign someone from now to the end of the season?
No.
Yes.
Fair enough.
And January maybe, not now. Not now.
They will. They'll sign someone.
Yeah, I think they will. You don't, Glam, you don't know. Listen, we've been told. Listen,
we live in silence, man.
We're
on a live podcast right now, so if you've got information, share the shit, innit? Yeah,
we heard from the company men officially, from Mike, Marco, and Ellis. We move in silence. You won't know until we actually get them.
Well, we're not signing a first team player.
It could be Mbappe. It could be Rafinha. You never
get
know.
Out of there. Get out of there, bro. I'll tell you right now, Mbappe's not coming. I do know. Mbappe is not coming. Kylian Mbappe, unless his brother's coming, he's got a younger brother.
Kylian Mbappe is not coming.
You
said Mbappe, we didn't say which one.
Come on, man. Everything is pointing towards it. Shaq has left. You know, it's the last week of the window. We move in silence. We've been working on this all summer, Glam. I'm happy
to get a player, but I'm happy with our squad. I'll be honest with you. I'm happy with the squad. You know, in a feel-good place. And I was just going back quickly to the contract side. I'm glad that we nailed down players that are playing, because it gives that solidarity. It gives that familiarity. And obviously, that's why I'm so confident we're going to win the league or finish second minimum. Because you got that foundation. It's the same players. You haven't got a lot of people to integrate. And you add to the squad. That's the good thing about it. So if someone comes, they do. If not, we'll crack on and get on with it. No problem. Bring on Chelsea. We're going to beat them anyway. So love that.
Yeah. In all honesty, Chris, I do think we are going to sign someone. And obviously, it's not going to be Mbappe. If that happens, then fantastic. But yeah, I think we'll sign someone. Probably a centre mid. I'm pretty certain we're going to sign a centre mid, man.
I'm with Fahy. I think we will sign someone, but the level of player that we'll get, I don't know if it's going to like turn many heads and get us very excited. Like, we might get excited because we're absolutely starving. And, you know, if you give a starving man a cracker, he'll act like it's a gourmet meal. So that might, yeah, we might get like, you know, Bundesliga.
What age bracket we looking? 20 to 25 or 25 to 29?
Anything
for me, to be honest.
As long as someone that needs a year to get used to the league and all that stuff. So not someone to make
so I actually think he might be. I think he might be one of two things. I think it might be someone that we sign who can come in right now, and I think there might be someone who gets signed pre-agreement who will come in next season.
Graven Birch,
basically, yeah.
Yeah,
we could have done a little swap deal. Oh, our kind of fit with Leon. You know what I mean? We could have done a little.
I say that, Glam, but do you not find it weird that Aouar is reportedly available for 18 million? Quid and not one team in Europe has gone in for him.
But that's the thing. I don't find it weird because I don't think a lot of teams, one, are ready to take on. There's not a lot of teams that really, really, really need a centre mid right now, if you actually think about it. And also,
you would need a top quality one, though. I get what Chris is saying. Regardless, if you don't need one, if he's top quality, you take him. 80 million right now in this current climate, you take him if he's that.
But good. That's the thing. I don't think he's top quality enough for us, for teams to haggle over. But yeah, man, him and Camavinga look available, so we'll see.
Yeah, man.
No, completely agree. I think that's a good place to wrap it up, in all fairness, gents. Thank you very much for joining me this week. And listeners, watchers, thank you very much for tuning in this week.
Come on, boys! Yeah, Romelu, you're going to see. You're going to see, man. Cha.
Yeah, we're gonna have a Romelu Lukaku, but that's a conversation for the pre-match.
You're gonna see, man.
And for more of this passion and integrity and just fantastic analysis, please subscribe to the Cop and Fracas Patreon page at www.patreon.com/CopandFracas, where you can find the weekend preview, you can find the NWO show, the Company Men show. You can find so much fantastic content that we've got, and we've got so much more coming up as well. But we will see you next week, hopefully with another 3 points in the bag and Lukaku in someone's pocket. But until then, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
Network.